across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM. This is Near FM.
90.3.
And you are very welcome back to the second half of the Tuesday edition of Northside Today with me, Donal Tarr, and sitting in for Adrian Murphy. Now, I am delighted to be joined from the Uplift organisation by a regular contributor, and indeed the organisation of regular contributors to us here on Northside Today at Near FM, for which we are very grateful, Leila Wade. Leila, good afternoon. Now, I should preface our little chat by saying that Leila was going to talk to us about the campaign in relation to unmarried families and widows or partners of those who have deceased and their pension entitlements, etc. But that matter at the moment is sub judice because it's before the courts to iron out some matters in it. So we will park that and maybe return to it, Leila, when things are clarified for us from a legal point of view, if that's all right with you.
Absolutely, yeah. Like once we have an update on that campaign, be more than happy to talk about it.
Yeah, because I think that's going to be pretty intricate, and there's a lot of teasing out to be done and a lot of stuff to be sorted before we can start talking about it, I think, on air. But something which is very close to my heart, we are going to chat about today. And it is like an octopus. This is something with so many tentacles going in so many directions, it's unbelievable. And it stretches all the way from misinformation to the, I would say, downright abuse of social media. And Leila and Uplift are, I suppose, running a campaign, are trying to get a campaign off the ground. And I think the basic kernel of the thing, Leila, is to put manners on the likes of your big social media providers, your Instagrams, your Facebooks, TikToks and all this, because some of the stuff that's allowed up on those platforms is absolutely unreal.
Yeah. And that's exactly it in a nutshell, as you said, Donny. Like, it is just getting regulations in place that can protect us, protect people online from as you say, like the full breadth of harms that we know are happening online, and you know, these harms that are happening online and big tech are able to profit off these, and I think that's what's the most shocking of all. So last week, I mean, and you kind of touched on this as well, in kind of like an octopus tentacle type analogy, but like it really is the Wild West, and at the minute Ireland is kind of showing up itself as a bit of a Wild West for data protection. I know you mentioned like misinformation there, to abuse, to sort of hate and polarization online, and then a lot of that is sort of linked into how our data is being used online, how much access these companies have to our personal information, and then how that information is actually being sold on to third parties and to data brokers and such like that. So,
Leila, can I just before you go on, I want to draw our listeners' attention to a very poignant line that I'm reading here from you. And it says, it basically says the toxicity on these social platforms for teen girls. That's teenage girls, for those who are a bit slow on the uptake. That is something that we in this country should be particularly aware of, because we have a new act, I think it's nicknamed Coco's Law, but I mean that came as a result of the vile abuse that young girl suffered at the hands of people on these social media platforms.
Absolutely. Like, they, and you know, the platforms like Facebook, who own Instagram, as we know, and who own WhatsApp as well, they have a lot to answer for, you know, and they need to be asked the hard questions, because you know, with Coco's Law, we're seeing a very real a very real and real world example of the kind of toxicity that can play out online and how that can impact so many lives. There was a groundbreaking report that came out last week. It's actually currently being covered in the Wall Street Journal in the US. But basically, we've known that Facebook's algorithm drives hate and misinformation and polarization. We know that they sell our personal data and bombards us with ads. And we know that they actively damage and impact our mental health. And what's so interesting about this report is Facebook, a whistleblower came forward with information on internal investigations that Facebook carried out itself. And in these internal investigations, which were given over to the Wall Street Journal last week, it has proven that Facebook has known that for teenage girls that maybe already are predisposed to mental health issues or are currently already suffering with their mental health, for one in three of those girls, going on Instagram makes it worse. It actually worsens what's already happening in these kind of unbearable situations for teenage girls. And no doubt it's happening for other people, but it's particularly potent in teenage girls. And this was research that Facebook actually carried out in 2018, and it's only come to light last week. All the while, there is still no regulation in place for how Facebook needs to mitigate these measures. So I think, yeah, like Facebook knows it's harmful, and its products like Instagram are harmful and are actively contributing to the mental well-being or lack thereof of teenage girls, and they haven't really done anything about it. And as you mentioned, like, we're seeing this play out in a very, very real way. And we know these harms are being perpetuated. And there's two things going on here as well. So last week, the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, they also brought out this kind of really shocking report as it relates to data protection. And in that report, it's made very clear that the Irish Data Protection Commissioner is letting big tech companies like Facebook, like Google, like TikTok, like Microsoft, letting them basically run riot with regards to data protection. The onus falls on the Irish Data Protection Commissioner because so many of those tech companies have their bases here in Ireland. So a lot of investigations and complaints under GDPR fall to the Irish Data Protection Commissioner. The Irish DPC should be protecting us from these harms. There's data floating around about us online, our personal information. This impacts, I mean, our well-being, our mental health, as we've seen in terms of how it can be manipulated. This can also impact sort of like disinformation and our elections. And there's these profiles built up around us through the data that's kind of, made... like our data that appears online, that they can build these profiles about us. And these profiles, they can be used to sold to data brokers. And it's basically a sold to the highest bidder sort of situation. And this can impact so many different aspects of our lives. As I said, elections, but also, you know, if there are life insurance companies that get hold of that data, if there are banks that get hold of that data, you know, if it says somewhere in a data profile about you that you are you partake in online gambling, now, you know, whatever your choices are there, and that can impact on whether you get a loan or a mortgage in the future. So that's kind of the scale of harm that is potentially.
Can I give you a very simple example? And I want you to. I'm going to throw this at you now, Leila, and I want to emphasise for the listeners this morning, or this afternoon, should I say, that anything that Leila and myself are discussing here, we did not pre-plan this. I just listen to Leila and I take the thing in the direction that Leila is going with and I run with it. But just two things now have come to mind from what she has said there in the last 2 or 3 minutes. Number one, I know people... and who are vaccinated and unvaccinated, who point blank refuse to download the COVID-19 tracker app onto their phone because they don't want the government knowing what they're at. And yet these are the very same people who will absolutely live their life on Facebook and other social media platforms. Okay, there's one contradiction. Mm-hmm. Now to go to something that Leila mentioned there about 30 seconds ago. You go on Facebook today and you put up something. Jesus, I was in the gym last night. I did an hour or I did a half an hour. And oh yeah, I'm in bits. Now you may use another phrase, but I'm being polite because I'm on the air. I'm in bits after it. And that goes to all your friends and you have a good old giggle about it in the whole nine yards. What Leila, I think, is going to say is that someday in the future, you may apply to a medical health provider for private medical insurance. They could very well have that information and say, well, hold on a minute. You're obviously not fit if you're in bits after an hour in the gym. So your premium is going to be so much. The amount of information that's held by people in relation to you that you don't know about is actually frightening, Leila. Am I anywhere wrong there on what I've said in the last minute and a half?
No. I think I'd completely agree with you. Like, it actually is really, really frightening how much is out there. Like, anything that it's so hard to take back anything that you put online. And as you say, you don't know where it's going and you don't know. It's not as if, you know, things, content or posts that we put up on Facebook just kind of float in an ether somewhere in the cloud. That information is more than likely being sold, and it's used to build a profile about you so that you can have ads targeted to you. But that information, it is out there and it is available. But I guess, like, what is it that we can do about it? You know what I mean? And Uplift, as you know, I'm sure there are Uplift members listening to this now. And, you know, we are a people-powered community of 350,000 people. And Uplift have been calling on decision-makers in government or decision-makers in the Dáil to really stand up to big tech and to, you know, politicians who care about this, but to really show real leadership. You know, the likes of James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD, he's the spokesperson for technology. You know, there's opportunities to show real leadership on these issues. And in the wake of, you know, a very few weeks for this party. And you know, there is regulation is fast approaching, and we know it is. And it's time for, you know, we are piling on people pressure to show to our politicians that they need to stand up. They need to stand up to big tech and you know, put regulations in place that sort of stop business as usual in terms of all the harms that are being perpetuated and to really put people back in the driving seat. You know, the Justice Committee very recently in the Oireachtas, they brought out a report on GDPR. And that came out, I think, in July. And it basically says that GDPR enforcement in Ireland is not where it needs to be, and it is falling short. And the government have sat on their hands. They've just sat on their hands. Nothing, you know, I don't know if that report has gone anywhere yet. But what that report calls for is that we need an independent review to strengthen and reform the Irish Data Protection Commission. And that we also, it's in the government's gift to appoint two additional data protection commissioners. And that's what we need to do. And the Uplift members are calling on James Lawless and on Fianna Fáil to really implement these findings. And yeah, so that's kind of the next step of our work. We're doubling down and we're putting on the pressure. You know, and I know that we as the Uplift community, we feel strongly about this. I mean, many of us have really connected to our own activism through, you know, building social movements online and kind of fostering those connections. But we need to do that in a way that's safe, in a way that we know we're not being profiled, in a way that we know that we're not being targeted, and in a way that we know that we won't be subject to unmitigated torrents of abuse because of a lack of regulation and because big tech have been allowed to continue business as usual for the last, you know, 20 years.
And I wouldn't mind, Leila, but it's a really simple piece of legislation to draft. It's, you know, I mean, you don't say something about somebody online that you wouldn't say to them in the public street. If you make it that simple, that's it. I mean, if I come up to you on the street, now, not that I would, because it's not in my nature, and I abuse and insult you, well, you are quite entitled to go to your solicitor and instigate civil proceedings against me under the Defamation Act. But I can go online and say what I like about you, and you don't seem to have any recourse to law anywhere. Leila, a couple of things I want to chat to you about, and we'll return to James Lawless in a second. How can we find out how much information is actually held online by different organisations about us, and can we compel those organisations to tell us what they know about us?
Yeah, absolutely. So under GDPR, now, and I'm certainly not a GDPR expert here, but you know, from my understanding,
I have a feeling by the time this is finished, this campaign is finished, you'll know an awful lot more about GDPR than you do now.
So under GDPR, any data subject, which is you or I, we have the right to find out how much information a given organisation has about us. Say that we've signed up to, you've signed up to Facebook. As a data subject, you are allowed to access and process any information that they hold about you. And under their privacy policy, you can ask for it to be deleted. Now, with certain platforms like Facebook and Google, it is actually notoriously difficult to find that information.
Yeah, but the question I'm really coming at then, Leila, is, I mean, if they pass on that information to another organisation, who pass it on to another organisation, so on and so forth, can you trace where all your details are and who has them?
That's a great question. I wouldn't be entirely sure on whether you can trace the entire chain of where your data has gone. But I think the kind of kernel of the question is, it should be that easy.
Exactly. That's the point I'm coming at. It should be.
It really should be.
It should be.
We should, we actually did a survey of Uplift membership recently, and we asked, as a percentage, do you feel that you have meaningful control over the information that social media, big tech companies hold about you and how that information is sold? 80% of those that took the survey said they didn't. That they didn't feel they had any meaningful control over that. That is, that's frightening.
But you know what would be even more frightening, Leila, is you're saying 80% didn't know, but I wonder how many of them even care. That's the frightening bit.
I mean, I think definitely our Uplift membership, there's a growing malaise, there's a growing sort of unease with what's going on, and I think it's how we kind of tell those stories of what's really happening, and I do think people care, but I think it's also about trying to tap into the political will as well for this to kind of to move on these things. These are some of the wealthiest companies the world has ever known, and it really is time for our government to step up and make sure that regulation is as strong as possible, and that they know that they have the support of communities like Uplift. They have the support to do that.
Leila, I get a feeling from talking to you, and we've spoken about different issues over the years, but that you are hopeful that the Irish legislators will step up to the plate and do the right thing. It's as simple as that. But in the meantime, I have a feeling that you are sort of hanging your hat on European law being more restrictive and more easily enforced than Irish law.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's a great point. I think there's kind of two bills happening in parallel, one in Ireland, one in Europe. There's the Online Safety and Media Regulation Bill, which will look at, how can we keep people safe online. That's currently moving through the Dáil as we speak. But there's also a parallel thing happening in Europe called the Digital Services Act. And that's also moving. Now, the Digital Services Act, because of European law, it will likely supersede, or, you know what I mean, it'll, like, that will become, that'll override any national law. So it is about, you know, the, like, I guess the sort of the challenge for the government is trying to see what's coming down the line in Europe and making the Irish legislation fit within that, so that they, so that, you know, later on when it comes to, in you know, sort of when it comes to translating European law into national regulation, that, that it's kind of as smooth as possible, you know, it's as frictionless as possible. But Ireland plays a very special role as well in the European law, because we have so many of the tech companies, you know, located in Ireland, and there is that country of origin principle, which says that, you know, laws that happen in the state where companies are headquartered can really impact on these things. So Ireland, it really is a key player actually in all of this, and you know, they're you know, it's kind of time that they threw down the gauntlet.
You see, this is the whole problem, because, like, we are looking at a situation here where the money that your Facebooks have is eye-watering. It's absolutely unreal, the wealth that they have. And, I mean, I'm looking here at a figure for argument's sake, right? That the EU fined Google $2.7 billion. Right? Mm-hmm. People would want to start to realise that the EU fining Google $2.7 billion, like, $2.7 billion would run a small country, a very small country, but a small country. But $2.7 billion to Google is like fining a millionaire €1,000. That's the analogy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so it has to be more than monetary fines, and I just don't know where those answers are. Like, I mean, like, you would say that any company that's hit with a €2.7 billion fine, that's the end of them. They're out of business. Mm. But Google wouldn't even miss that out of their account. This is the and you know as well as I do, Leila, and I hate to be, I suppose, I won't say disparaging, which I'm not, but I hate to be pessimistic is the word I'm looking for. But, I mean, when you're dealing with companies with that sort of money, boy, you've got some struggle on your hands.
Yeah, and I agree. It's sometimes it can feel like pushing water uphill, but, like, I think there's fines, and then there's really truly holding them to account. Like, you know, and I think accountability really, really has to come into this. And I think, as you say, these are some of the wealthiest companies, and it needs to come down to disrupting their business model, disrupting a business model that has allowed them to accumulate this wealth. And, you know, not only are, like, the fines that, you know, to your average Joe like you and I and to the people, $2.7 billion is, like, couldn't even dream of that money, to be honest. But, and it's eye-watering, but not necessarily for these companies. And, like, on the flip side of that as well, the money that these companies are spending to lobby so that the rules that are brought in, that are being brought in you know, in Dublin, but in Europe, are kind of watered down so that they don't affect business as usual, so that they don't disrupt this business model. I think, you know, they've spent on lobbying fees alone in Europe, they've spent $97 million annually to lobby the EU institutions. Tech is now the biggest lobbying sector in Europe, with spending ahead of big pharma, fossil fuels, finance and chemicals. Just to put that into perspective. So, you know, and there's a lot of people likening the kind of the spotlight that's being put on the harms to the health of our democracy and the health of our societies by big tech. It's very similar to big tobacco and you know, the impact that had on our very physical health. So, you know, there's a lot of sort of comparisons being drawn now, and the sheer levels of money that are being spent to kind of keep it business as usual are eye-watering.
Well, as a broadcasting colleague of mine on the other side of the pond said recently, the rules of the game are being made by those who've already won the game. We just don't know that they've won it yet. And when you're playing against something like that, by God, it's like Leila said there, it's like pushing water up a hill. The man who has the power at the moment to do something about this is Fianna Fáil TD, James Lawless. You can lobby him in his Dáil office. If you just Google James Lawless TD, you will get the contact details to email his Dáil office. If you are listening to us or have relations who live in the Kildare North constituency, he has a constituency office there. You can lobby him at his constituency office as well. And I, when I say lobby, I mean lobby. I do not mean personal protest like we saw at the weekend, which nobody would stand over. A person's private Absolutely. Dwelling is totally off limits when it comes to that. As we used to say years ago, play the ball, not the man. James Lawless is the TD who has responsibility for this. We will be watching this extremely closely, Leila, because you know, this is something which is impacts everybody, whether you think it or not, my friends, that this doesn't impact you. Trust me, it does. Leila Wade, Leila, we will be talking to you again in the coming weeks because the Uplift campaign in various fields continues. It only remains for me once again to apologise for the lovely Adrienne not being here to talk to you this morning, because I know she was extremely anxious to have this chat with you. As I said, you were stuck with me on this occasion. Leila Wade from Uplift. Leila, thank you so much for your time today, and it has been extremely informative. And this, like other interviews on today's programme, will be up on the podcast service, the Near FM Listen Again, later on, so you can get details. In the meantime, Leila, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Tony, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
No problem. Now, that was Leila Wade from the Uplift campaign, and you can look up Uplift, just Google, literally, Uplift, and all their campaigns are there.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.